Okay, from now on, every time we put the headphones on, assume that what you're saying is going to end up on the podcast somehow.
That's fine.
Okay.
And a couple things. He's friends with Ronnie, with that group.
Okay.
But his dad was my high school counselor.
There's always a connection with your family.
There is.
There are new Palestine people everywhere. And this show
I loved his dad.
Is no exception.
I love his dad. His dad was one of my favorite people in the world.
Well, there you go. And he's got a great kid. He's got a bar. We should go down to his bar. Do the podcast from his bar.
He doesn't have a bar.
He works at that bar, right?
He works at a bar. He is a bartender. And I think it's just like he shows up and they're like, hey, you busy? You want to bartend? And he's like, yeah, I can do that.
Can we just do this podcast?
Maybe we should just do this podcast.
No, right now. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air.
Let's do this.
In the morning in the back of the Beamer. Bob, I miss you already.
But you can't be frightened when it comes to this. But down your back tricks, give me a kiss. I got a castle in the Paris, got a crib in the city. I said I'd get you something nice, something pretty, and I did. And you liked it like that, to be so big and to be so fat. Because we up in the mud house, over in the club.
Hi, welcome back to the Off the Air podcast. Thank you for downloading it, of course. I am Chick McGee, the leader. Thank you. My co-host. Hi, Jess.
Hello.
And that is our producer, Jason. And this is Bob Schneider.
Ain't got no dough.
Well, he's good.
Chip.
If somehow you've downloaded this podcast before you downloaded the Bob Schneider episode 61, get your shit together. Go back and download 61 and Bob Schneider music. And if he's coming around, go see him live. He's an amazing human being and a fine musician. Or either way, you could say that.
He's good to look at.
And he's
He's a good-looking guy.
Handsome.
He's got good hair.
He's got great hair. He's got a good beard.
He's got a soft face.
He's got a hairy chest.
Oh, my gosh.
How do you know about his hairy chest?
His shirt was unbuttoned. You could see it.
Yeah.
You could see it.
I couldn't see it.
I don't have a hair. I don't have a
hair. We know you don't have a hair. I have more hair on my chest.
Well, that's true. I mean, what happened?
5 years ago, I finally started getting a few hairs up here.
What did I do?
5 years ago.
I'm not kidding you.
What did I do this? I shaved this down.
Right there in the middle,
because
right between the nips.
No, that's where the surgery was.
Mm-hmm.
No, but because every time I would go up to him, I'd be like, "You have a straight hair," and I'd pull it, and it was attached. It had come through his shirt. Yeah. It was so long, his chest hair.
She does that. Did that?
You got a little salt coming through.
Are you kidding me?
Oh no, he's completely
up high.
There.
Up high. It's up high. You're not completely gray. Well, you're plenty dark. Gray. Nipple and south. You're dark.
Nipple and south.
He is. He's
I love
dark.
That reference.
I am all of a sudden attracted to Jason somehow. Nipple and south. Tell me about it. Hi. Yeah, it's the podcast. Thanks, everybody. Anybody have any old business they'd like to bring up? Any new business? Should we have a meeting right now? Talk about the future of the podcast, our mission statement. Do we have a mission statement?
There's a chance we're going to be at the state fair, at the Indiana State Fair, so that's going to be fun.
Where will we be if we're there?
The Dairy Bar.
At the Dairy Bar.
Not barn, bar.
Well, now why do they do that?
Because it's a dairy bar. It's
That would confuse me.
I know. Well, no, there's not two different things.
Why don't they call it Moo Moo's or something? It's a bar. The Dairy Bar. Call it Moo Moo's.
I emailed our friend Jenny at the
Love her. Dairy, sweet lady.
Yeah, at the, and she, I said, we're going to do the Dairy Barn and we're going to do this. And she's like, she didn't ever correct me, but in her email, there were like four things I said that she corrected. And I was like, oh, okay.
So you typed B-A-R-N.
I said barn.
I thought you'd been saying barn all this time.
No, but
it's not Dairy Barn.
No, she said she didn't even know it was the Dairy Bar until she went to work for the dairy.
Well, yeah, you're at the state fair. You're thinking everything's a barn.
Yeah.
Pig barn.
Right. Pig barn.
Horse barn.
Horse barn.
Can we go to the pig barn while we're there?
Well, if you go to the pig barn, my kids and I have been doing this since they were...
Taking pictures of the big dog.
Two and four.
The big balls.
They have the world's largest boar.
I don't think I think it's the Indiana's.
No, I think it's the world's largest boar, which I used to think I worked with every morning. But it's not. It's
I think we were supposed to laugh.
Oh. I thought he was gonna do a different joke.
A crashing boar? But the world's largest boar naturally would have the world's largest balls. What was your joke?
Nothing. No, I'm gonna nothing. No.
All right.
While we're on Indiana
things. So we could go see that.
Right.
My buddy, G-Money.
G-Money.
Uh-huh. He's in town.
Don't know G-Money.
He was actually at my house last night. We grilled out. His daughter.
Were you playing euchre?
No. His daughter's in a softball tournament, doing very well. Actually, went and I've seen a couple games, so they had the evening off, came up. Right now, he's at Lucas Oil Stadium, and he just sent me a couple pictures.
Is he taking the tour?
I think he got a friend of a friend, got a tour for him together. Yeah.
Ask him who's doing the tour.
Okay.
It's probably my dad.
You think so?
I think so.
If his name's David, tell him that.
I'll find out.
Yeah. That'd be a funny thing.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Yeah.
Man. There are people from New Pal everywhere.
I know.
It's a little ridiculous.
My dad's not really from New Pal. My dad represents Warren Central.
That's a big school.
That is. It's big. It's big time.
I used to be familiar with Warren Central.
I hung out with some Warren teachers the other night and had a blast.
Not all that much.
Very
anymore.
Funny.
Warren teachers.
My friend Mary.
She teaches at Warren now or did?
She teaches at Creston.
Huh.
It's a middle school there.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
She's funny.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
The
she
cracker.
Has a blog.
I call her the cracker.
She has a blog.
Does she know I call her the cracker?
No.
Okay.
She has a blog, Trusty Chucks.
Is that how you find it? Just Google Trusty Chucks?
Mm-hmm.
What's the...
T-R-U-S-T-Y
It's a mom blog. A lot of mom stuff.
What's the behind the name of Trusty Chucks?
I always think Converse.
Converse. Yeah, it is. Her Trusty Chucks. Where she wears her shoes. Yeah. Yeah.
I got an email from Marty last night.
Shut up, speaking of Converse.
Wait a minute.
I think I got an email.
And it said, here's what it said. I got to reply to him. I'm trying to decide how to reply to him. It said, there goes your backup plan. And what it was he attached just a little piece from an article that a flavor company was leaving town.
Funny. Marty Bender.
That's kind of funny.
I hate him and I love him all at the same time. I hate him because I'll never be that funny.
Yeah.
And I love him because he's that funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Marty Bender, everybody. We should give out an email for him.
And, oh, no, he would kill
and
you.
And have people ask him to come on the podcast.
No.
Why couldn't we?
Oh, to have him. No.
We shouldn't do
he's
that.
He's busy. He's running. He's got business.
He
to
needs
run
a morning.
Right now.
He needs a morning show.
When he wasn't busy.
I know.
He needs a morning show. And we could just slide right in and I'd say, and here's REO Speedwagon, just like that. And we'd be their morning show. That's all we'd have to do.
Because Marty isn't one to make an announcement.
No.
He just.
No, but we could just step right up and do that. Would you live in Chicago ever?
Yes.
You don't want to think about it?
No.
Oh, you would not.
Yes, I would.
You wouldn't take the kids up to Chicago and do all
yes,
that?
Yes, I would.
Huh?
Yes, I would.
You like the big city?
No, I don't.
It's different.
I went to New York and I was like, Indianapolis is a big city as I get. I like Chicago.
I was just in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they have a great downtown.
Yeah.
I was really impressed. And supposedly it's smaller in number than
Indianapolis.
But it was a much bigger downtown.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's much more urban, I guess.
Okay.
Well, speaking of urban.
God.
Segway.
It's my Thai food buddy, Al Jackson joins us on the podcast this time. Hi, Al.
Yo, what up? I was in the other room. I didn't know.
I know where you were.
No, we knew exactly where you were.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
because normally we kibitz for a little bit.
Okay. Cool.
Jess is a quarter Jewish. We kibitz.
That's not true.
And we talked for a little bit, and then it was perfect timing.
Oh.
You walk right in.
Yeah. Is there any language restriction?
Fuck
on
no.
That?
All
right. There.
Go
listen,
crazy.
Al, that's my co-host, Jess.
Hi.
Jess, how are you? I'm Al. I can't believe we haven't met yet.
That's okay.
All right.
I used to work here.
Yeah.
She used to coordinate the tour, the Bob and Tom tour, a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Where was that?
Where was what?
The tour, like just around here?
No, it was all over.
Okay.
Coast, all the markets.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, the Bob and Tom show stuff.
Yeah.
Now she...
Now I'm a substitute teacher.
Substitute teacher.
Yeah.
And does the podcast. Except for sixth grade.
No, I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't go higher than fourth
grade. But Al Jackson...
I taught sixth grade.
You taught sixth grade?
Yes, I taught.
Yeah, but look, you could be intimidating.
Yeah.
I'm like the same size as a sixth grader.
You don't have to convince me. I can't imagine. First of all, just teaching is crazy, but a substitute has less authority, so kids are just like, oh, okay, well, fuck this. Like, my kids would be, I used to have the, because like at my school, there was a sub that would just like, she kind of like was like the house sub,
right,
where like
sure.
she would sub at different, you know, but same school every day.
Yeah.
And she was like, she wouldn't leave notes like on every class roster with the 35 kids' names.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
She would just have like different levels of smiley face.
Yeah.
And so my first period class was my gifted class. So it was like just smiley face. Like these are all brilliant kids. And then it like the faces would just slowly get, it'd just be more and more of a sad face. So you got the sixth period would just be like just a complete upside down frown. Like these kids suck.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now Al, of course, is a traveling comedian. You've been a comedian 10 years?
Eight and a half. Shit.
But he's also, as we just found out, was a teacher, and I've done a little background on Al, believe it or not. And you brought up a good point. I heard an interview with you about Asian Americans in our culture and how almost your admiration for that entire that entire system, I don't know, or world, I guess, is just amazing. I was intrigued when I heard you talking about it because they're so different than the way we are brought up.
It's different, and I think I'm glad you brought that up because I think people get really weird when you start talking about race and culture because there's this thing where like you can say something stupid and your career could be over where you're like, I think black people are fast, and then all of a sudden you're in front of cameras just saying, you know.
Everybody knows I'm a big Redskins fan, and one of my top three favorite Redskins, Darryl Green.
Oh.
And he's fast.
He's a fast man. They say he's still fast, and he's like 50-something.
This is true. He ran a 4.7 40.
Yeah.
50 years old.
I don't think people realize what that means. If you ran that now, you still might get drafted.
Yeah.
Like, he's he's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
But yeah, getting back to Asians, I went to graduate school. I didn't go to college with a lot of Asians, but definitely I went to all black schools. Not a lot of Asians there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in graduate school and then going back and teaching and dealing with Asian parents and their kids.
Sure.
Their kids are just, it's not even fair to American kids. I felt as a teacher like I was wasting their time. I wanted to be like, dude, here's my keys. Just go drive around and go to the mall. You have no business, no business in my classroom. That's how advanced they were. Probably three grades ahead of where and that's me being nice.
With almost not seeming like they're trying.
No, they're not trying, and they were very friendly. But they had this look like, I'll play along, but we both know this is bullshit.
I brought this up because I know you're so passionate about it, but one of Jess's interests, because she's an unbelievably wonderful mother. And
is she into Asians?
Two
kids?
Children. No, but she's into this tiger mother.
Yes.
Have you read that book?
Scenario. I didn't read it, but I've read the pros and cons of people that liked it and people that didn't.
I read Tiger Mother, and then I read Free Range Parenting, the free range
that's
kids
me.
Or something
whatever
like that.
Whatever you dudes want to
yeah,
do,
it's
man.
The free range kids is the lady who put her kid on a New York subway, and I think he was 7, and she was like, let's see how this goes.
What?
Yes. 7 or 9 in that age range. And she did that, and it's just obviously two completely opposite parenting styles.
Right. Which did you agree with the most, and what do you think about the Tiger Mother book?
I don't know. I think that we talked about this on the podcast a couple of
episodes ago.
Yeah. And that I'm somewhere in the middle. I feel like I guess that's where everybody wants to be, is somewhere in the middle of that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be the helicopter mom, the tiger mom. That's just a different. It's just different.
Well, like
that tiger mom. That tiger mom was going to school during recess and during gym class, and having her kid practice piano or violin. Like because those extra classes are such a waste. She said that's what she would did. I mean, these kids were not allowed to spend the night anywhere. They weren't allowed to. They basically did not make any decisions on their own.
Setting them up to have a joyless life.
Right.
Well, you would think.
Full of achievement, but joyless.
Oh, okay. Full of achievement.
You know,
I
mean, you're going to, you know, but like at the, I mean, but I don't know if it's just an Asian thing, but I look at friends of mine, like my best friend in the world who's a surgeon is a black dude, but he's Jamaican. One of my other good friends is a pediatrician and he's African. And I have a couple ex-girlfriends that were East Indian. And there is something culturally that is done overseas that it's just in them. Like my best friend that's a surgeon, his brother's a doctor. Mm-hmm. The girl that I used to date, this Indian girl, she's a doctor, her sister's a doctor, and both her brothers are engineers. Mm-hmm. Like there are no fuck-ups in Indian families.
There are no stand-up comedians.
Yeah,
there are no morning radio hosts.
Nothing. Nothing. It's funny because like I will meet people that are successful in other forms in other professions that aren't, you know, doctor, lawyer, engineer, and they still kind of have to, they still have their family that's kind of like, well, you know, you have 2 million followers, but couldn't you have been a doctor? Mm-hmm. You know, they still don't. If it's not one of those three things, they don't give a shit.
Right.
And it's a whereas Americans, I don't know, maybe we're too much of the free range. I don't know. I think I am.
Yeah,
but
and now you have parents who are like, here, we're going to push you on this reality show.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Fuck college.
Right.
Here, go be Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is what we're going to bank on.
I've never seen Honey Boo Boo. I tried to watch it. I've seen it on The Soup with highlights. Yeah. That's all.
It's not worth your time. Yeah.
I watched a segment once because it was on and I was like, you have to watch this. Just call it Field Research.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like they just enjoy their lives and have a good time.
It doesn't, yeah.
It doesn't, it's, yeah. It's not this thing.
Yeah, it's they are who they are, and I really think that they're pretty genuine.
You know, I think sometimes that people like that on that show are who they are and are so honest and seem to be so full of joy that people in Hollywood look at them, or producers, or this is the weirdest, oddest, most insane thing I've ever seen.
Right, these like studying something in the wild.
They're totally comfortable with who they are. And,
well, I have more respect for the people on that show than I do anybody that goes on the fucking Bachelor, the Bachelorette.
Oh, sure.
I mean, those those are struggling actors and actresses.
Right.
You know, that's all that is.
Right, yeah. Yeah, some girl that's trying to get into Playboy.
Right.
And either made it or hasn't yet.
Right.
And she's like, oh, I'll go to this audition. That's all it is. I mean, and it's under the guise of, I really do think that if you shut those cameras off, the Honey Boo Boo people will be right in the mud pit, rolling around next week eating corn on the cob. And
whether the camera was there or not.
I feel like that's what they do. I mean, there's something to that. I think everybody's kind of drawn to it, that rural lifestyle that like people in major cities or even mid-major cities don't really realize. It's like, you know, we don't get a chance to see, like, those when you watch those swamp shows and stuff and they're like, you know, you live next door to your grandfather and it's a close-knit family, and there's something kind of cool about that where it's just like every Sunday you guys have dinner and you watch you get drunk with your kids running around. I think that's kind of cool. I think that's kind of cool. I don't know.
That's I not on that scale necessarily, but family,
it certainly used to be.
All of my dad's brothers and sisters and my dad lives 26 miles away, 26, 30 miles away. And he's the furthest one away.
Oh.
Everybody else
lives.
He's
the black sheep.
No, he was like, you guys.
That's a rebel. He got out.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. He got out.
26 miles away.
Yeah, but everybody else lives
right down the road,
like 10 miles of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you see everybody all the time.
And Sunday's
Sunday's dinner day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, yeah.
But I don't know how I'm going to put this and not sound like I'm ignorant, so I'm going to try to. All of my friends, when I was in high school, I went to a very, very much a 50-50 high school. I mean, they're half. And when I say, I guess I might have even been in the minority, but it was close. All my friends in high school were black. But now, I don't know where all my black friends went. Can you help me, Al?
There's an app you can get on your phone that helps find them. You just put the contact in.
No, I mean, I just don't.
We just saw them at your reunion. They still live in Ohio.
Yeah, I know. Those guys.
You moved.
Did I get out?
They didn't move. You moved.
I don't know.
Maybe it's not that you can't find your black friends. I have a theory that once you get anywhere past 25, it's just impossible to make fucking friends. Because
it seems that way,
because
doesn't
it? Not going to. That friendship is. The friendships your first quarter of your life are years in the making, and then if you meet somebody at 26, you're like, hey, me and this guy go to happy hour together and we work in adjacent buildings, but you don't know this dude friend that's 15 is like, remember when you peed on the lawn, you know, like like only a few people are ever going to have those stories about you, so like having a real friend as opposed to like your adult friend, like, hey, we golf together and our kids play together. That's a different kind of friendship.
That is.
And we've talked about this before on the podcast. In my case, and I'm not saying that I'm this, you know, big star or whatever, but I have attained a certain amount of celebrity or whatever you want to call it, especially locally where I live. And any friend I might make, 9 times out of 10, it'll be, you know, 5 or 6 times we're hanging out. The 7th time it'll be, so what are Bob and Tom really like? And what time do you get up? And
what's it take to get on the show?
Can I get on the show? How about a concert ticket? So then
it's
just like, well, I'm just going to sit at home and watch The Wire for the 9th time. I mean, you know, I just don't.
It's weird.
But I'm always really quick to blame myself for every situation. So I'm wondering what am I just putting, am I bringing, making it about me too much? And it, maybe they're just curious and they don't mean anything by it, and I'm just really defensive.
I think that you forget to, and you say it, you realize it, but when you're in a situation like that, that you forget that these people already feel like they have a relationship with you. They have been listening to you since they were kids. You know, for you've been on the radio here for almost 30 years. So there are people who have been like, I know this guy before they knew you, you know?
And then when I don't act like I do on the radio or something different, it really throws them, and it throws me, consequently.
I made a phone call. I'm trying to get a piece of furniture restored, and I talked to the guy, and there's a guy here in Indianapolis who is on local television, Tracy Forner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he recommended...
Indie style and gently.
Right. He recommended me to this... Kaznak Restoration. So I called the guy and I talked to him, and he said, well, how did you find us? And I said, well, Tracy. And he's like, are you involved in TV, radio, whatever? And I said, well, I have a podcast. He goes, well, what's it called? And I said, well, with Chick McGee. And he goes, oh, I know Chick McGee. And he meant like he knew you from the radio. Like he knew you from the radio. And he said, you know what? I thought Tracy, you kind of was a know-it-all guy on TV. And then I got to know him, and he's actually just really nice and sincere. And I said, you know what? I said, I found that out about Chick. I said, he's actually not the guy he is on the radio. And he goes, oh, okay. Like like it was such a relief to him. Yeah. So it was really nice. And he wrote down our podcast, and it was very sweet. So
I don't know.
It's just like, you know.
I feel like I spend too much time talking about this on the podcast.
No, you don't.
No.
About
it's
just,
but it's a part of it. It's a part of your. It's a part of your. It's a part of your.
But
personal
what Mark Maron
life.
Say? It's my about. Podcast. Fuck him. I mean. What do I do?
I think it's like the reason you talk about it is because it's something that you care about. And it's weird. I mean, me being the stand-up and not to be like, let's talk about how to affect. But it's like it's a thing where it's just like people are just, you know, it's like you end up having the same conversation over how'd you get into it? How'd you, and you're just like, can somebody please shoot me in the face?
Tell
and
me a
I
joke.
Know,
you know all the great jokes.
Tell me
a
joke. And it's like, you know, I go over to like my wife's family reunion. And it's just holy shit.
It's like you're a like, panda.
All Ooh, right, Mr. TV man. He knows Shaq. Call, show him your phone. Show him your phone. He got Shaq's number. Look, show him your phone. It's just like, it's just, it's a never, and it's just
Do
like.
Do you really know Shaq?
Yeah, we're right on his TV show.
Oh, okay.
But it's like,
we're on a TV show together.
Yeah, and it's like you know, I just want to sit and watch the game and have beers, and I don't want to talk about being Chick
like,
McGee.
Like, what would you guys talk to me about if I weren't who I was? Like, let's pretend that. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, what would somebody say to you?
Why don't more people think that way anyway? I don't get that. I see, consequently, if I see somebody famous, or like Bob Schneider, when we had him on the podcast, I was terrified that I was going to say something or do something like a fan, because I'd... You know, I want a relationship with him other than him being one of my favorite singer-songwriters.
So think about that the next time someone comes up to you, and think about how you felt with Bob Schneider, because that's probably how they feel. You know what I always think of? The people that come up to you and usually say something about Go Skins, something, you know.
They're trying harder
than asking you, you know, or they say,
is Tom really a dumbass or an asshole or whatever? Yeah, right.
Do people ask that?
All the time.
Oh my,
really?
That's the number one question. Does Tom really hate you? Yeah, Tom really hates me. That's why we've been working together for 30 years, and I'm still in the building. Okay.
Yeah.
Evidently need to look up the word hate. But you know,
it's a weird thing. It's but I think that maybe you should. Do you kind of have a lot of friends that are in the industry? Because I think
that's the thing too. I mean, consequently, other than the people who I personal life. Incredibly personal.
If you go back through your relationships, your friends were usually your wife's friends, husbands, or boyfriends, or whatever. That was your relationship.
Pretty much, when a
relationship ended, so did your friendships.
Right.
So with that, this is the first time you've been not in a relationship, and you're out making your own friends for the first time.
For the first time since high school. Maybe that's why it's so fresh in my mind.
There you go.
Yeah. Because there are some friends from my last relationship that I still talk to.
Is it weird at all?
No, it's not. Our relationship's not weird. We're friends.
And you know him through his ex-wife?
No.
We used to
date.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
We were.
And there's no dynamic anymore that makes it weird? Or?
No, not really. Not for me.
No. Well, I think we lived together for quite a while.
For about 5 years.
So you guys,
but we've only been
broke. It's like slowly trickling out. Well, we know each other. Well, we did.
Let me give you the simple.
Yeah.
She handles it better than he does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, only because.
And we haven't been broke up a year.
Oh, shit.
This Aren't you glad you're doing the podcast now?
This is like one of those people who's like, oh, do you have a tattoo? Oh, yeah, I got it yesterday. It's still bleeding.
No, I think all the bleeding stopped. Yeah. It's just, yeah, but
it's
you're right.
Sort of the touch.
But
possibly.
When we ended the relationship, it was, if we don't end this now, we'll never speak again. So we're good. We're better than we were.
Is it weird that I find that fascinating and really cool? And I think that probably adds an edge and a dynamic to this show that never get with anybody else.
Probably.
That's why we've behind the scenes, we've done everything we can to keep the podcast going.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, there's been a couple
times. That sounds
times
like it's code for something. We've done everything.
No, we've done everything. No, I think, but this podcast has ended a couple of times when people didn't know, but we fixed it before we went public with it.
Well, that's true. don't tell him that. Jason will. No, yeah. But you're right. It gets back to the way I've run. Al, I've been married 3 times. I've been in all the marriages, never gotten engaged. Those 3 marriages.
Just straight to marriage?
Straight to marriage.
Okay.
And
it'd be a good idea.
That's pretty much how the proposals would do. Go. Or I'm not going to buy a house unless you marry me. I'm not going to buy a house with you unless you marry me. That was my favorite one. But first time I've ever been engaged was with...
Me. That was me.
Jess. And, you know, we lived together and all this stuff. But you're right in that my friends were always who I was in a relationship with. I didn't really have any. Well, one guy, David, probably is my longest and oldest friend.
But that
friend.
Goes back to what he said about him being your friend when you were a kid. You grew up together.
But this, I think this speaks to a larger point in that I become so wrapped up in whoever I'm in a relationship with.
His addiction is women.
That my...
Oh, yeah. I can speak extensively about that. Yes.
Yeah, he's tried to move his addiction to alcohol or something else
or
medication. But it doesn't take.
But I do need to be on my own, be me, have my own friends, and do my own things instead of being so wrapped up in her or whoever I was in a relationship at the time.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know how I
this
do that
the,
yet.
This is like the most extensive 12-step program you've ever witnessed someone go through.
It's
really
difficult. Yeah. And there's nothing, I think as corny as it sounds, I mean, there's nothing to replace your addiction, especially if you're addicted to women. Like I was definitely before I got married, and even early on in my, I mean, addicted to women,
right.
Like as many as I could have. And just like some guys are you know, are.
Did you try to keep a list in your head of the names and stuff like that?
It was not even the name. It was some guy, I was a volume guy, and I hung out with guys that were volume guys. And it's a weird thing where, I see what happened to some of us, where some of us kind of pulled the parachute and got married and kind of settled down, as difficult as that was, and kind of went through withdrawals, almost like a junkie. Like,
it is.
Just not having, any city I would go to, I would have 4 girls at least ready to go and then be trying to meet some at night, and have some in the morning.
Yep.
It was a full-fledged addiction. And I see I look at my friends now that are now in our late 30s and are still out at bars chasing girls that are now 20 years younger than them. And it's weird. And you kind of.
And they still think they can pull the 20-year-old.
Right. Or even you know what they do? They try for the 20-year-old, but they end up also pulling the 44-year-old that's it's a little beat up and been around the block. You just know that car that it's like it's a car that like 3 people in your family have had before it's gotten to you. It's just like that kind of woman.
But it'll still get you there.
Yeah, it'll still get you there. It's a little
still
beat
get
up.
You to the grocery store.
You just want to drive it at night.
Don't turn the radio on. It'll shut the engine off.
It's like that grounder that comes right to you.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's I definitely feel you, brother. It's an addiction. And for you, it seems like you. I don't know if you were a volume guy or just some guys are serial relationship guys.
He was more serial.
It sounds like
you were a volume for a period of time.
I was volume for about 2 years, year and a half, two years.
I mean, it was.
Pretty good haul. Pretty good.
What you're talking about? But how did we get on this topic?
We're just talking about friends.
I need to make better new friends. I mean, I've got some new friends that I really like.
Absolutely. Al is your friend?
Al, we had Thai food.
We have to be real friends. I feel like when we start being real friends, I feel like you would just text me and be like, Hey, dude, I just took the biggest shit. I don't know what. That's like what a friend.
Yeah, that is a guy. Right. That's a guy friend thing. Yeah.
I need a name, and it's a Capricorn. Stuff like that.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, it's because I think that we could be friends. I like you, Chick. You're a good dude.
I like you, man. You're an NFL fan, right?
I am a junkie.
Yeah. He's a Browns fan.
I have an issue.
My whole family were Browns fans.
Yeah.
Until,
yes. Good people. Yeah. Browns fans are good people, man.
Yeah.
I went to Browns Stadium.
Oh, yeah. You've been to
Mm-hmm. I dated a Browns fan in college.
Now, that was the old Browns Stadium, Municipal Stadium.
So that's
right?
What your family told you to say instead of black guy?
It was a Browns fan. Is he a Brown, honey? Is he a Browns fan? No. He likes the Cowboys.
My daughter is a Browns fan lover.
No. Yeah, no. What is it? When? How long ago was there a new
stadium?
Where
do they play now? They don't.
Yeah. Is it new? There's a new one now?
Well, Brown Stadium. New. It's Cleveland Brown Stadium. It used to be old Municipal.
They remodeled it?
Yeah, they did it. Okay. They remodeled it in 99.
Oh, then I was at
back,
the new
I
one.
They came
I went
back.
In like
yeah.
2002.
When they came back, they were
2002.
The old one. I saw the Redskins there.
I have pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Browns.
I went to my first game there. I went to a Pittsburgh game with my Uncle Ben.
Man.
In like the 80s, 86, I think.
You do not have an Uncle Ben.
Oh, yes. I have an Uncle Ben who is the greatest. And I can just tell that. Can I just tell this?
Sure.
Because this is like you're a sports dude, so you can appreciate this. And I would never tell this anywhere else because anybody that's not a real diehard sports fan wouldn't get this and wouldn't care. But my uncle who took me to, he's got some physical limitations and there's also some mental issues as well going on. He's just a little bit slow. That's the word. But great guy. Took me to all my Indians, Cavs, Browns, all my games and stuff. And he's like a diehard junkie, like gets on the train in Cleveland and goes down with a cane and goes to see games.
Oh,
and,
man.
You know, he's since had a stroke about 5 years ago. And so, you know, we're keeping an eye on him, making sure he doesn't get sick. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like everybody's got that kind of window when people start getting older and sicker where it's like if you get two or three or four phone calls in a row from that number, you think something's wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Somebody's in the hospital. Somebody has their phone and like it may have happened, you know. And so it's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm living in New York. And I just get six phone calls in a row from my Uncle Ben's number.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, uh-oh. My favorite uncle is dead.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason this man would be calling me.
Right.
And so I was on stage. I get off. I have 6 minutes of calls. And he calls me again before I can even call him back. And I pick up the phone. I'm like expecting to not hear his voice. Mm-hmm. And it's him. And he goes, Al, what's going on? I'm like, Uncle Ben, what's talk to me. Like, what's why are you calling me six times in a row in New York? And he's like, what do you know about Ramon Sessions? A backup journeyman point guard that the Cavs got.
He just signed him about 45 minutes ago.
He was just like worried about
you tell
the
me.
Guidance.
Oh, that's
he just
funny.
Was like out of nowhere. So it's just like this, just
funny.
Like I had all these emotions like calling me about this point guard that averages 6.5 points a game. He's just like, what? But it's just like, yeah, he took me to see my first back when the Indians had Albert Bell and like took me to all the games. So I just I loved him. And his name is Ben McLemore, which the Cavs were thinking about drafting. So I was hoping they kind of picked him.
Oh,
that'd have been cool.
So I assume when LeBron left, that crushed him.
Beyond.
Yeah.
I think that people think that this is a joke when they talk about like Cleveland fans were dead. Like my Uncle Ben was just like, and to this day, like LeBron will be like, they'll show him at the ESPYs or show him at some kind of thing. And my uncle will just be sitting there and be like, needs to wipe that goddamn smile off his face. Like, he's still just so mad. He can't let it go. And it's just so
it's like
I do
a mourning
like
process for you guys. Like you
really
were really
is.
Upset and hurt and now you're pissed just, off. And
everything you need to know about me was that, and you just caught the tail end of it because he finally got in, but Art Monk not being in the Hall of Fame haunted me for like, you know, 8 or 10 years. And he finally got
Are
in a couple
serious?
Years ago when we were in Orlando, and I'm watching the TV, and I'm going, hey, he's in the final six.
Okay, babe.
And she's going, what? Okay. Bless her heart. She's trying to be interested. But, well, you know, the rumor about the Cavs is that LeBron, this is his last year in Miami.
Yeah.
He's coming back.
That's
Irving,
the word on the street.
You guys wouldn't
Irving.
Take him back.
Oh, yes, we would.
Yes. Oh, hell yeah.
And they're
yeah.
building the team Let for him.
Yeah.
In a way,
they, and
Irving
listen
and
up.
That
man.
Other guy. That
yeah,
knew, yeah.
Listen, we have a nice little team, man. We got Bynum.
Yeah,
we
got
Kyrie. We got Andy, who was leading the league in double-doubles last year before he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
We got Earl Clark, who I was actually living in L.A. last year when he took Paul Gasol's place in the so Earl Clark's a legit big man coming off the bench. We got Jarrett Jack from Golden State as our guard. We have Deion Waiters, the fourth pick last year, and we still got the number one pick who's yet to play a game. We got him this year, and we might get LeBron in a couple. I mean, the Cavs,
they're coming.
We got a little bit of a team, man.
They're coming.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
I think that's adorable that you don't think that. You think all the Cavaliers fans would go, nah.
I wouldn't.
You know what? I'm here's my thing. I if he comes, great, but I kind of want to do it without him.
Oh,
If he comes, great.
I would become a huge Cavs fan if you guys didn't bring him back. But if you do, I'm off the. Well, I like the Pacers.
First of all, can I just say this? I love the fucking Pacers. They are a tough, mean team. They're not shaking hands.
David West
meeting
is a
up
man.
I tweeted. I don't know if you saw, I said.
I love you, David.
David West looks like you always just told him that you don't have his money.
I know he does.
He's like a mean, like strip club boss or something. Like,
oh
just
my
a
gosh,
mean, I like that.
I had no idea. I got to sit on the floor for a game last season, and I'd never done that. And it was against Atlanta. And I had no idea the trash talk that happened on an NBA court.
Right.
Oh, my God.
You told me that the one guy, oh, look at you.
Yeah, he's like, he goes, you ain't going to have to shower after this game. You ain't even got off the bench. You haven't sweat or nothing. And I was just like, it was like a conversation. Like, it wasn't just like.
It was like, you're clean. You're clean.
I go, why does he keep saying he's clean? He goes, because he hasn't been off the bench. I was like, oh.
You're
and
clean.
I just back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, David.
I mean, those are the G-rated things I said.
David West physically assaulted Chris Bosh. You
yeah.
could just see that Chris Bosh, every game, Chris Bosh was like, fuck, I got to guard this maniac. Jesus.
Every time.
Yeah, you guys were one player short, brother. Yeah. You guys were better than the Heat this year. You guys.
Oh,
just,
I think so.
Your bench, I don't know if they just went and got a bunch of guys from the LA Fitness. but DJ Augustine has no place on an NBA roster.
He's already sent him away.
It's just like your bench just couldn't hold the fort.
Who are the brothers that we had on the team?
Hansborough.
Psycho T and his.
Who's gone?
Yeah, he's gone.
Tyler Hansborough's gone.
Yeah, somewhere.
He's on the Raptors. And I think DJ Augustine's on the Raptors too.
Is Tyler's brother still here?
That was probably a 1 year thing.
Yeah. You think so? Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Beaver.
Ben.
Because it was so
he was a guard.
It was so funny when he would, you know, he would come into the game after you have like David West and those guys in there, and he'd come in and you'd just be like,
oh, I like Tyler.
That's how I felt. I was like, okay, this farm kid's trying to get, you know, is trying to play like street ball, and I was like, it's not gonna fucking happen.
And I like the Pacers.
Go back to your barn where you're.
Reggie was on the show back in the day, and he's a great guy, and I pay attention during the season. Sometimes I go to a game or two, but. During that playoffs, I really got into it this year. And when Hansborough
this year, what about the year before that? When was the last time he got into a fucking fight at a Pacers game?
Did he really? Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
What?
He was chugging those fucking beers from the thing.
Yeah,
and there was who did we play?
He said
I don't know who it was. Yeah, it's
all true. Who did we play in the game that we went to?
Atlanta?
No.
Boston?
Was it? I don't know, but whoever it was, there was a fan in front of us, and. They just start screaming back and forth at each other. And the girlfriend and I are just
wait, how did it start?
No. He said somebody made a basket for them and put them ahead by like six. And I think we came back and won by like two.
And we're
and
sitting on
saying,
the level above
what now?
Them. He kept screaming.
What now?
Screaming down. Oh yes.
God. I remember saying that.
Yes.
That brings so much joy to my life.
Oh my gosh. And I was like, this is the first fucking NBA game you've been to since Reggie left, and you act like you're a diehard.
What now?
Was he a big dude?
No, this kid was maybe 25. Maybe weighed 180 pounds soaking wet, and I was like, are you serious?
What now?
What now?
What now?
I love that.
And I was doing the girlfriend thing where it's, shut the fuck up. Sit down, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. God, I remember being so mad. Over.
I remember you being so drunk.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think that's pin-up Redskin stuff. I mean, we're middle of the NBA season, mm-hmm. and he hasn't seen a Redskins game in a while, and
God,
he fucking needed to get it out.
Gosh,
it's like when a guy hasn't had sex in a long time. Like, it's just like, that's
now,
how he was.
Did you leave him? Did you leave him alone during Redskins games, or would you sit in there and provide comfort?
Well, it depended. If I came in there and brought food and they scored while I was in there, then I had to stay.
You had to time it.
That is not. Yeah, that happened. Yeah, that sure happened.
Hey, what are you doing in there? Keep doing that because they're doing good. I don't know what you're. I'm reading a magazine. Keep doing that.
Stay on that article.
Yeah. You
know, she'd come in and she'd go, "What's the score?" No, she'd come in
and I'd look and read his face.
And yeah. I wouldn't. I'd just be sitting there and she'd come around, see my face, and then the score is always on the screen. And she would. It was just wonderful. And she would go, look at me and go, "Oh, I'm sorry." But it was so fucking sincere.
Yeah.
And then you'd bring me a snack or lasagna. Yeah.
I can cut this part out, so if this might be a little personal.
For
who?
What
are you talking about?
This was in the past, of course.
Oh, he's gonna celebratory.
If there was ever halftime, no, I'm saying halftime. Has there ever been a moment that you felt he needed a little something to distract himself at halftime?
Yeah.
And you may be obliged.
We did it during halftime, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
I know
sure
we did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but it was never a pick me up. It was celebratory.
It was celebratory. Yeah.
You're celebrating at halftime?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
If it was
sure.
a good first
only if
half.
They're up three touchdowns.
Okay. It's got to be.
Which
three.
Isn't safe for the Redskins. Yeah. We all know that. Well, it might be safer now.
Now you come in town. You said about every other month.
Yeah, about that.
We you need to come to Chicks on a Sunday.
I would love to.
Watch some football.
Yeah. I got the ticket, and obviously if the Redskins are on, we're watching that.
You see that window back there behind you? That's his screen.
That's about how big that TV is.
Oh, yes.
I do have a badass TV.
That's what I like to hear.
The last relationship I got out with the TV, brother. Yeah. No
I
problem.
I let him take it.
But deep down, did you not maybe want her to keep it so you could get a new one?
No,
was
that TV.
That?
No,
that TV
down.
Is like a fucking sibling to him.
Okay.
There's no way.
No, that's not true. I wanted her to keep it because
then he'd have a reason to come over. Can I come
I
over
owe her
you?
A lot.
Shut
I
up,
it.
Dude. Stop being serious.
I'm sorry. I'll joke around.
Stop
that's my TV.
It is.
What now?
Yeah.
Should we title this podcast "What Now"?
What now?
What now?
What now?
What now? That's the because I can hear you yelling it drunkenly.
Oh,
you guys have no idea how mean he seems when he's like in that place. Because you know what? I don't even know. You could have cared less. Really.
You know what? We're honest. And I was in that place for the first time in a long time, like a week ago.
Were you angry
with you?
Oh, well, were you going to talk about this?
I feel
no,
like we're talking about
so,
it now. Let's
no,
go.
But it was so. You're right. It was so. It. I don't know.
Did you get drunk and that anger came
yeah,
out?
Yeah, I said I was sorry. Right?
You guys. You know, I left where we were. I just said, okay, I'm going to leave because this is going to get ugly. Let's not do this. And so I leave. I get out to my car.
Oh, we're going to talk about this?
Yeah, I'm just going to. I have to tell you guys. I get out to my car and I'm texting the babysitter. Headed home. See you in 30 minutes, whatever. And I'm looking down at my phone and I hear, and it's him on the hood of my car. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm drunk. I'm sorry.
Al, what would you have done, Al?
I will get Chicks back on this one.
Okay.
I went to the Santa Monica Pier with my family this week. Mm-hmm. This was as recently as 72 hours ago. And my wife, because we were going to take pictures at the pier, and my wife's like, bring the dog. So she can be in the pictures. I'm like, the dog doesn't need to go. Bring that dog. Bring the dog. Dog is whimpering the whole car ride. I'm like, so we get there, and the Santa Monica Pier, those little rinky-dink roller coasters,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the dog starts freaking out just because of the motion of the circular motion and shit, and the noise, kids screaming and cotton candy and shit. So it's like the pit bull is she's a service dog. She has a vest.
Aww.
So people are cool with her. But like when people see a white pit bull semi-freaking out, I'm like to the point where I had to kind of take her away briskly,
right.
And she did a fear piss all the way down the pier, you know, down the wooden pier. And so I can't go there. I can't go with my family and watch them ride roller coasters. So I go to a bar and get shit-faced. Whoa.
With the dog waiting outside?
Oh, no, the dog is with me.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
she's
a service
dog,
so she can just sit at my feet. So,
okay.
You know, and like she started freaking out before we even bought you know, tickets.
Yeah. Aww.
So they were gone for an hour 15.
Oh. Yeah.
So by the time like they came back, I was like, let me tell you about yourself. I ain't want to bring the dog. Like a drunken rant in the afternoon with the sun going down in a beautiful setting. So yes, I just like, and then I told my wife that I was like, I'm sorry, I was drunk.
Yeah.
I felt so bad.
How's the dog take it when you get a little?
She's fine. She doesn't give a fuck.
Logo.
Yeah, because
you're fine.
Tell you about yourself.
Yeah, as soon as she came back, I was just like, I want to bring the dog. Now I'm sitting here by myself. Just got madder over the course of an hour and drunker. Yeah. So yes, I feel.
Is there anything more infuriating when you're right?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's probably when I get the most angry, when I say something and go, I'm predicting the future and I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, God, why can't you just listen to me one time? I know I'm a dude and I'm an asshole, but I'm like, we've managed to do something with our lives. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Right. We have a career, we have a family, we managed to juggle everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, maybe just trust me on one thing instead of arguing about everything. Not that my wife argues about it, but it's like, just... Don't bring the dog.
Yeah.
Right. Don't bring the dog to an amusement park because she might freak out, which she does.
Right.
And then I'm by myself drinking at Bubba Gump Shrimp because you wanted to bring the goddamn dog.
Now, what are you drinking? Are you drinking beer? What are you drinking?
Listen.
Was it vodka? Was it?
Normally, it's vodka with a couple limes, but there was a tequila and beer shot special.
Have you had?
And I ran head into that.
Have you had this called Cafe Patron?
Yes, sir, I have. And that shit's delicious.
Oh.
As soon as you take one sip of that, you're like, well, I can see how this would be a problem.
Mm-hmm. it's like alcoholic candy. Mm-hmm.
That's the perfect way to put it.
Oh. Don't we drink on my birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck my life. Yeah. That was terrible.
That's some good stuff.
That's one of those things that it could be the best of times, worst of times, because you could drink so much of it that you can never drink it again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's one of those where you just like,
well,
oh,
I haven't
drank it for 2 years.
Yeah, I haven't crossed over since... when you drink it so much and then you vomit it, that's when it starts, I can't stand the taste of it because you...
No more Starbucks for a while. Once you throw that up.
Cafe. We haven't talked about your career or anything. What are we talking how is it that you've only been doing comedy for like 8.5-9 years?
Man, it picked up pretty quick, and I had some guys help me along the way. Bill Bellamy took me on the road early in my career. Jim Norton took me on the road for a couple years early in my career, and you know, I just got some guys looking out for me, and it sprung board me into headlining, and I like writing, I like working on stuff, and it's just like it kind of all came together for a fucking lazy ass kid that barely graduated high school. I made something of myself somewhat, you know, so got lucky. I found the thing that I like to do because I was just doing a ton of shit. I didn't, even with the medical school stuff, I didn't really want to do that, but it was like.
Medical school? What do you mean medical?
I was pre-med. That's why I got a degree in biology. I went to graduate school, got a degree in biomedical sciences, and was getting ready to go to med school. And I just knew I didn't want to go. That's why I started teaching middle school, and from middle school came open mic with me just talking about being a teacher, and then smash cut to 4 years later, you got a Comedy Central special, and 3 years after that, you know, you're trying to shoot your hour special. So
awesome.
You know, but it's just like this weird road. I didn't know, I had never thought about stand-up, like never. I loved it, but I never
thought. And always had a sense of humor. And
yeah, but I feel like Seinfeld put it so succinctly when he was like, you know, all our friends are funny, and then everybody goes and gets a real job, and then you're like, oh shit, I'm still telling dick jokes.
Right.
How'd that go down at your school? Did they expect you to kind of leave and go do comedy, or was it kind of a
no,
shock to them?
It was kind of, I wouldn't say it was a shock. I was thinking about it because I was the thing, I was the house MC at the South Florida Improv, so I was working every weekend. This is back when they used to do 7 shows a weekend, you know, Thursday, 2 Friday, 3 Saturday, 1 Saturday.
Sunday. Yeah.
And then, you know, you're running the open mic on Wednesday, and then Monday, Tuesday, you're at an open mic. So I'm performing every night and then going to work every day. Mm. And you do that for 2 years. And, you know, it's just, I had nothing left, man. You know, and I just had this, it was like a month before the school year is about to start. It was going to be my 6th year of teaching. I was just like, either you're going to do this or you're not.
Right.
And I talked to my principal, and she was like, look, man, you got to try. You know, because at that point, I think the news had come to the school once to do like the local news came and did a story on me. You know, something like that.
Okay.
And you know, and so that was it. And then you're just like, oh shit, I have no health insurance and I have mm-hmm. no bookings and I have no means to do this. It was, you know, mm-hmm. and it ceases. I wouldn't say it ceases to be fun, but it's a different gear where you're just like, this isn't something you're doing at night. This is, mm-hmm. you know,
this is your career. Now.
Yeah, this is what you do.
Yeah, you have one foot in with school and one in comedy. And
yeah.
You just don't go balls out until you have to.
Exactly.
Yeah. How long have you been married?
Going on 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, going on 6 years.
Wow. So. Okay.
First marriage?
First marriage, yes.
Well, that's nice.
So yeah, it's
that's
good.
That's precious.
It's been cool. We're holding it down and like we still have a good time together. I was thinking about that this week. Like we just like my wife still makes me laugh like the way I laugh with my friends. Like she's right. just mm-hmm. a funny, sarcastic person and
yeah.
we get drunk together nightly. Let's
that's
be
good.
Real. Nightly. So my wife is an indie girl, you know, so she does not turn down, and she's Catholic, so she does not turn down her...
she's from here?
Yeah, went to Lawrence Central.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's a local girl.
You ever go to the Holy Spirit Festival? Holy Spirit, Batman?
No, what is that? That's, where is
it's just the East Side.
It's East Side.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. where, yeah, she's
East Side. Catholic North, Festival. Northeast Side, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
What's the North Side Catholic Festival?
I
feel silly.
Holy Spirit Geist? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't wander much further than this when it comes to the North Side.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right.
Huh. Well, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, we were just talking about Lawrence Central before we went on the air.
Oh, a friend of ours knows
Greg Oden.
Greg Oden and
Mike
Conley.
Oh, yeah.
Mike
Conley. They're both from here, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's okay. Really. Who would have thought Mike Conley would have been.
He's a badass.
He's
isn't he?
A fucking problem.
He really
he
is.
A really good player. He really worked on his game. I was just looking at him like he's really put on some muscle, too. Like he's a big. You just see. What happens when somebody maximizes their potential?
When,
you know?
When those two were running, they came on the Bob and Tom show, and they both were just the nicest kids. I mean, because that's you know, at the time.
They were seniors in high school.
Yeah,
the time,
and they
right?
both came in, and it couldn't have been nicer or sweeter. Or,
right.
And it was just, and it's, you know, it's sad what's happened to Greg, but I got Odin.
He's getting some looks.
He's coming back. Yeah, right. I mean,
he's got a lot of looks.
Yeah, he also has 10 inches, so I'm not feeling sorry for him.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
true.
Yeah, come on. There's more.
Are you talking about his vertical?
He tweeted a picture, and everybody was like,
no,
all right.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, did you guys ever see that?
No.
Stop.
He did not.
You never
tweeted
saw
tweeted a picture of his junk?
Well, to a girl.
Oh, but it got on the internet somehow.
Yes, that tends to happen with celebrities. And
don't
yeah,
do
he's,
that.
He does not disappoint.
You're saying it's proportional.
It's very proportional to a 7 foot man. Yes,
he's a big guy. He's not, you know, a little. He's Shaq like.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah,
I mean, he is big.
He's thick. Yeah, he's thick, and he's.
Why I think he's such a not a disappointment, but like because he does have a man's body at that size,
yeah.
and he
yeah.
plays like a big man. You don't see him shooting threes or going between his legs. Like he's like
right.
a big man, you
right.
know,
like a Bosch big man.
Yeah,
he's a big
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Bosch is a pink Rolls Royce big man. Ugh.
So do you you go see Cav games?
I went and saw them when they were out in L.A. This last year when they got destroyed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just go to as many games as I can when I'm on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my friends are sports junkies, so we'll go to like minor league baseball games. I know you guys got a good team.
Got
right?
a good team and a great venue. Victory Field is just beautiful.
Right. I mean, what's the name of your team?
Indians.
You guys are the Indians affiliate, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Double A.
No, we're not the Pittsburgh. Indians affiliate. It's Pittsburgh Pirate affiliate.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Are they still in first place?
If they weren't, they're close. I haven't kept track.
All I know is Monday is Dollar Monday. Mm. Everything but beer is a dollar.
Pretty much, yeah.
Soft drinks, hot dogs, popcorn, pretzels, everything.
God. I don't know about soft drinks.
I think it is a dollar. Why wouldn't they charge a dollar for?
I don't think so.
Everything but soft drinks are a dollar.
Yeah.
and beer. No, yeah. beers. Beer. No, I don't know how
beer's
much beer
much
was.
More than a dollar.
Okay, I do know how much beer
good
was.
Lord.
Yeah, but I go to, yeah, you see?
Yeah.
Did you just see it?
Yeah, it's like as big around as my thigh.
Would you want that up, you know?
Hey, what the heck's happening?
If you want.
What if she goes, had that? That would be even more disturbing.
It's like boobs. At some point, boobs are too big. You know, you can get grotesquely large boobs.
But that's
freakishly
large.
That doesn't mean you don't
want to
see them.
I don't know.
I'd look at it.
Yeah.
Do you think a lot of women are size queens, or do you think they...
Oh, no.
They say it, but they're like, oh, that looks good, but they'd be like, no, thank you.
Eh, I don't know. I think there's, I actually, we just had this conversation at Girls Cards. I think that there is a certain amount of pride taken when your man has a big thing. Because mm-hmm. there's a girl in our group whose man has a big thing. And we all know from high school that he does. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I don't know. It's just been a rumor. But so that she kind of has an air about her, like when she talks about him, like, yeah, you guys know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. And so I think that that's
really?
that's more of the attitude. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Which leads to, conversely, you would be embarrassed if your man had a little tiny thing, you know.
Yeah, because the girl who's married to the guy with the tiny wiener didn't say shit.
See, there we
she
go.
Didn't.
So,
there we
no.
go.
So you even
and we all knew.
You
we
know who that
knew.
Is,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
How do you all know
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I'm like, how do you know that?
Because girls talk. We know. I mean, these are people God. That we've grown up with. Like you said, you go back
right.
and you know this.
So
you
that
know
scene,
the guy. You know who lost their virginity to
scene,
who. And you know, mm-hmm. you know.
That scene in The Godfather where Sonny Corleone's wife is at the table during the wedding, and
mm-hmm.
she's telling everybody how big Sonny is. And mm-hmm. I mean, that actually yeah. happens. I just thought
I
it.
Think
no,
so.
That happened.
Huh?
That happened.
I had a friend comedian of mine. We were on a comic road trip. It was four of us in the car, and he just out of nowhere, and he does not drink. He was completely sober. Just like announced he has a tiny penis,
mm.
and was just kind of like, not that he wanted to get it off his chest. I don't know what we were talking about, but he. Just it kind of came up, and he was like, "Yeah, so that's a thing." So it did, like we were just kind of like, it, but it was
so
like
what do you,
at 2:30 in the morning.
It,
nothing, no one, because it wasn't even like even to, you would think announcing that in a car full of comedians would have been. But it's just like he didn't even say it in a pathetic way. It was just like very matter of fact, like you know, look, guys, I don't have a big penis. And he gave us the number.
Yeah,
it was I think 4.5 or something like that.
Yeah,
and he was just like it's a thing. And then you don't
I've
think
never
about
heard
it
of
again.
Such a thing in my life.
And
that's not true.
Yeah,
nobody's told me that. Who?
That's not true. I know someone who's told you that they have a small thing.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
I guess
so,
you're right.
Never mind.
Yeah,
sorry,
but that
on.
Was just
yeah.
a one-on-one thing. I mean, that wasn't.
It doesn't matter. You don't talk about that.
But does he? How is his other numbers? You know, is it in spite of the small, he's still, I mean.
Are you talking about his ball length?
No. Ladies.
His tall
oh,
length?
No, he's, I mean, he's married now. And
okay.
that's also a kind of a weird thing because you talk about knowing people and like when you're kind of interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
This guy met and married a woman that worked at his job. And so.
That's insane.
Her girlfriends talk. And they've made comments.
Oh, gotcha.
They've made comments that she's made comments
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
it's not like I guess. But she's kind of like he's a good provider. He's a good guy.
No, oh, so. If a woman says that right out, like he's a good provider, then that means there's not shit going on in the bedroom.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how small his dick is. I don't care how much money he makes or whatever. You don't ever speak negatively about your husband. You just don't to anybody, not your mom, not your best friend, not somebody you work with. You just don't say it because it will come back to you.
Yes. Yeah.
Never ever say anything negative.
What about when they're an ex? Is it okay then?
No, because I
would you shut up?
Because what if oh. they what if they're not an ex forever? You know what I mean? It's just.
And I think that's what happens. You say you know oh,
one
well,
thing.
A good friend
it,
of mine.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine said a mutual friend of ours broke up with a girl and everybody was telling this guy, yeah, you're better off.
You're better off. Yeah.
Yeah. She was fill in the blank, and he told me don't ever do that because, and sure enough, they were back together in like 3 months, and then all those people. That it spoke negatively of
yes.
her,
yeah.
he remembered it.
And
yeah.
just probably to your point is, if they're a bad enough person, someone else will do it for you.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. absolutely. If
yeah.
they if,
no,
if
true.
They if they are a piece of shit, then mm-hmm. they're,
get
they've
out
already
anyway.
Proved. Yeah, they've already proved it to everybody else. You don't have
yeah.
to say anything. And you just, I don't know. I've never been a fan of the bashing of an ex anyway. Especially, I mean, just coming from a divorced family and being divorced.
Right.
Your kids know, you know.
Yeah.
If you have a parent that's not great, they'll figure it out. You don't have to tell them.
That's what I've been told from divorced parents. They're just like,
yeah.
I had a friend of mine who kind of, she worked at a comedy club and I worked there. So I watched her daughters go from 8, 9 to like
mm-hmm.
10, 11, 12.
Right.
And she was just like saying her daughter started making comments like, daddy's kind of an asshole. And she's like, oh yeah, you're starting to figure out why I left him. It's just like, if they're a dick,
mm-hmm.
Your kids will figure it out. Yep. It might take 3 years from now. You'll need to tell your 6-year-old your dad's a dick.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out.
You know, let her enjoy him while she can. You know, kind of like, because that day's coming all too soon. Yeah, and it's going to suck for her.
Oh, and can I tell one random small penis story?
Yes. Go, man.
Because this is actually the same person that I was talking about that got divorced from the guy. And she said, this is back when people had flip phones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She said that her husband had left his phone, like the kids were visiting him that weekend, left his phone with his penis. It was a picture of his penis in his phone. Kid finds it. Tells their mom that daddy's got a picture of a little kid's penis. How great is that? How great is that?
Gosh.
No humor involved, just factual. No. Like, daddy's taking pictures of.
Yeah, it would never even cross the kid's mind.
No. That is the worst.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
All right, let's get away from the penis talk here real quick.
I'm down. We can
A couple
penises.
Things. You talked on the other show on Bob and Tom. You're really into cooking.
Yes.
We were talking about TV before. Do you like some of the cooking shows? Are you big into those? Or?
I watch the one I watch and I kind of watch it because it's not with a whole lot of pretense is Gordon Ramsay's Cookery. Because I don't really like the competition show so much, but it's just him showing you how to cook things, and it's not, he doesn't do it with any kind of like, he's just like, this is how you make your it's on the BBC. Mm-hmm. And it airs after Kitchen Nightmares, so I watch Kitchen Nightmares, which I've eaten at a Kitchen Nightmares place. I ate there. The place in New York where they go, it's an Indian restaurant. Where they end up shutting it down because there's roaches. They had a comedy club in that back room.
Oh.
And so the manager that Gordon Ramsay ended up screaming at and telling him he's a filthy pig, like that guy used to book the comedy show. I was like, this is a real, like I ate there. I ate food out of that restaurant. So yes, it's fairly disgusting.
There's a great, it's on PBS. The one I like is America's Test Kitchen.
Okay. My brother watches that.
The guy is
the
a little
day.
Bit of a Poindexter, but they kind of go into the side and you can tell they've tested
like
things.
Like Alton Brown.
A little bit.
He is a force of nature.
Alton's a little more, he's a little more throwing humor into it. Yeah, good eats with that. He's honestly on my dream list as far as having a guest in here.
Yeah, he's great.
But America's Test Kitchen's really good.
He has the Alton Brown.
It's a little more clinical.
My brother told me the other day that once you open butter, you're supposed to. The Test Kitchen said you're supposed to put it in the freezer and keep it in the freezer between uses.
For what reason?
I don't know. I guess bacteria or germs or whatever. We open a stick of butter.
We'd be dead.
We would be dead because we leave it on the counter.
No. We do it in the fridge.
No, we do.
But, yeah.
No, we leave it on the counter so it's always room temperature. No, fuck no, I don't have a cat.
Do cats like butter?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know.
What?
Well, I thought a cat would hop up there and lick it.
I mean, it's dairy.
I'm not about a cat on a countertop.
No.
You wouldn't own a cat?
I would own a cat. An outside cat, maybe, but not a countertop.
So I was in Minneapolis this past weekend, Jess, and I went to a great, great independent bookstore, which you love.
Uh-huh.
And it's not uncommon to see some cats in
right.
Also in the back, walking around, a chicken.
No way. Like roaming?
Yes. I want a chicken so bad.
Chicken roaming.
It was
in
a
free
range book chicken.
Free range book chicken. It was great.
I've got a fenced in backyard and I've been kind of plotting this. Mm-hmm. I think I'm certainly not zoned for it where I live, but I think I could keep a couple chickens in a coop and not make a big deal out of it and keep it quiet.
Easy,
I've
Mike
got a
Tyson.
Pretty,
okay.
I've got a
Do you not understand?
Big, tall fence.
The people would go, are you serious?
They just do this a lot, right?
I think they're noisy, though, in the morning. I think that's the problem.
Maybe get a rooster.
Yeah, don't get a rooster.
I wouldn't have to get a rooster to get fresh eggs, though, right?
I'm a little fuzzy on that.
Well, the fact that Chick would have chickens, I think people would go, really?
Yeah. No. You're taking it too far.
All right,
taking it too far.
I'm enough of a fucking cliche. I don't have to.
Earlier, you kind of answered this, but you're such a nice, sweet,
sweet face,
easygoing guy. What makes you angry? What really
taking
what gets
a dog to Santa Monica Pier? Let me tell you about yourself.
So, what now?
What now?
My point being, I don't ever see you getting angry.
Oh, man. You know what it is, dude? I have...
See, maybe we can be friends because I can see you being angry and incredibly caring. Yeah. And
there's a range of emotions.
All of them,
shaking.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've got a man crush.
Well, when you're extremely nice, I think that means that you can be extremely unnice.
That's
that you
right.
have yeah. that range. There's not anybody who just is like extremely nice and then, I'm okay.
What is it? You fight like you love.
Yeah, that's what I always say. You fight like you love. You love hard, you're going to fight hard.
You kind of brought it up. I get really upset when my wife takes any kind of business that's in our house outside.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really, mm-hmm. really pisses me off. Mm-hmm. Like it's like you said, you don't talk shit, you don't mention anything, you don't do this, you don't.
Mm-mm.
That really upsets me.
I got that from my dad. My dad was, you don't ever talk about finances. You don't talk mm-hmm. about money. You just don't talk about it.
Nope.
Never talk about it. And well, and now always he tells, and he tell, and because when I've gotten in fights in relationships, I've called my dad like moments after I've been in a fight and been like, motherfucker. My dad's like, you shouldn't even have called me. You need to wait 48 hours and then you call me. And I'm the only fucking person you call. You don't call anybody else. You don't tell anybody else.
He goes, but you wait.
Yeah, he goes, you wait 48 hours.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah, he was, I benefit from being raised by my dad because I can be pretty sane. I don't mean that mean, but you know, some women can be. Yeah. I have that man mentality when it comes to fighting and arguing.
I think circling back to what you were saying to start this off, I think that's really important that you're raised by somebody. You're kind of talking about free range versus tiger mom. I think having a dad that's a man of principles, even if they're just five principles that he mm-hmm. lives his life by,
mm-hmm.
like that's some shit you need to just like mm-hmm. something to anchor yourself as you move through your life. It's just like, don't do this and don't do this and mm-hmm. don't talk shit about your wife at a bar,
mm-hmm.
you know, or something like that. Like
that makes me crazy. That's one thing that pisses me off is that I've hung out with friends or guys or whatever, and my fucking wife's like, motherfucker, then divorce her. If you don't like her, then leave, but don't tell me about it.
Yeah,
you think you're gonna score points with me or something? I'm gonna be like, yeah,
obviously, yeah.
You're gonna divorce her and then be like, hey, what's up? And I'll be like, fuck, you were just telling me.
This could be you.
Yes, exactly.
I've always heard you don't ever talk bad about a former employer. That's all I've ever. And it's,
right, it's kind of the same thing.
Exactly the same thing. Don't do it. You know, why would you do that?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, that's one thing that I have learned from many things I learned from you. I'm talking to Jess. That no, I mean, there, like I would hear something from somebody. And I would want to tell one of my friends that I heard it, and she would go, hey, that's not yours to tell. That's his.
Right.
Don't tell people that.
Well, but you and I were in a situation where our relationship was under a microscope, and that's people were talking about it a lot. And I was just like, you know what? They did this to us. Let's not do that to them.
Why was it under a microscope? Just because of this?
Age and our age difference.
And our age difference in the
that we met here at work.
Who I am.
Yeah.
I was telling everybody.
Blah, blah, blah.
You're telling everybody.
Jason ran his... trap. No. I almost said cocksucker. Jason ran his mouth.
No,
Matt and I were a safe place.
Yeah, you guys were like the first people we told, and I was a nervous fucking wreck. Yeah.
Were you shocked, or could you feel that there was something?
No, I knew there was a little something because I was very close with Jess.
We shared an office.
She was sort of my work wife in a way, and basically our relationship sort of became sibling like
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Right.
Although I'm much different than her siblings,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, I kind of felt it, and I knew that Matt and I, it's another friend of ours, we'd go to lunch, the four of us, and I that's what they needed, and so that's what we gave them, you know, that little safe place to have real friends and be feel normal.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't know.
That's true.
We didn't get a lot of that time where we felt normal.
No,
we didn't have a lot of friends that were our friends.
Do you think that hurt the relationship?
Oh yeah,
it did big time.
If you could do it
because
over
a lot of
again,
people just
you...
shunned it. I mean, like just
really?
Stopped talking. Yeah, just nothing.
Because
nothing
of their age,
it was either or who I was know. Or they would stop talking to her. Some of my almost all of my family didn't want to be around her. And
wait, what?
Yeah,
it was just shitty all the way around.
It
no
was.
Wonder. I mean, that's
that'll weigh on a relationship.
Hell yeah. It's I tell people like my wife is perfect, and it's still damn near impossible to be married.
Yeah.
You know, it's just hard to be with one person until the end of time. It's just a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine having that kind of pressure too, where it's just like people aren't talking and people are pissed off. Man,
couldn't go certain places because certain people were there.
Yeah,
weren't invited to places. weren't invited to some places anymore because
that's like what interracial couples went through in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Yeah, it's just like you can't do certain things. Yeah.
My brother's in a interracial relationship right now for the first time, and he's just like, sometimes you think, what fucking year is this?
Yeah,
he said, it's insane. It is insane, the looks that they get. And he's like, it's just, he's like, are you kidding me? What is going on? And it's just, I don't know. I feel like I kind of sympathize with him sometimes because he's like, there's places that we know we can't go because people are just assholes. Insane. Yeah, it's insane. It is. It's insane.
If y'all might may ask him, what's the age difference?
And between us?
Yeah.
You're 55?
23 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, and she'll tell you the truth. When we were together, wherever we were, we never.
Nobody ever said anything.
The classic, oh, would your daughter like to sit with you for dinner? Never. Not once. People knew we were.
Oh, when you have your tongue down each other's throat, they kind of know.
That was probably a tell.
Were you guys a PDA couple?
Yeah, kind of. It wasn't bad.
Her not so much, but in your, it was a lot for her.
Yeah.
Because she really isn't a public display.
Yeah.
Kind of girl.
No. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. Yeah, so
I don't know if
was
I like this episode or not.
No, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
All right. Thank you, Al.
Hey, man, I love y'all.
I don't have your phone number, by the way.
I know you don't. That's why I had to hit you up on Twitter. I was like, holy shit.
If we're going to be best friends and watch football games
during
the season and have somebody bring us a plate of lasagna. Oh,
I can do that.
Which you haven't had it. It's unbelievable.
See, they're talking into my good ear.
Thanks, Al.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jess.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jason.
You're welcome.
Thank you for downloading the Off the Air podcast. You can download the next one the next time.
That's good. That's good, Alfred.
I had a dream.
Thank you, Bob.
Dream I was dying.
Good night, everybody.
To see you again.